typical murderers. Some plan their crimes meticulously, while others kill on impulse.
It's Jason Voorhees.
Fred Krueger, Mother. Fred Krueger!
It is time, Michael.
When there is no more room in hell.
Well, a boy's best friend is his mother.
The dead.
What's your favorite scary movie?
We'll walk the earth.
I'm a eternal child. I am the eater of...
No tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
The boogeyman is real.
Here's Johnny.
The blackest eyes.
Every year.
The devil's eyes.
Don't fall asleep.
It's got a death curse.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Death Curse Radio. I'm your host, Nathan Barker, and joining me tonight is Kent Mullins.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And Ben D'Atley.
Hey, how's it going?
Now for tonight's episode, August 13th, 2018. Now, this is a milestone day for Friday the 13th fans. And for those that don't recognize the date, it marks the 25th anniversary of Jason Goes to Hell, released back in 1993 and directed by Adam Marcus. Now, this film, I mean, wow, it seems like it takes a serious, serious beating from, of course, the serious Friday fans. And I'm surprised that Adam Marcus has not received death threats with the way I see some of these people just bash the shit out of this film. And maybe he has. I've never had a discussion with him about that. And then, of course, there's people that love it and just think it's the best thing since sliced bread. So I can appreciate everyone's opinions. And as with other Friday films, there are things I like and also dislike about Jason Goes to Hell. But I would like to say that I will finally have the chance to meet Adam Marcus, myself, Ben, and Kent. We will all be at Horror Hound Mask Fest Indianapolis at the end of August, the weekend of the 25th. And Adam Marcus, of course, will be there, Kane Otter, too. So I'm just glad that I'll finally have a chance to meet Adam. And I'm going to shake his hand, and I'm going to commend him for stepping outside the box. And I'm not necessarily a fan of the supernatural side of the film, and I'm not really a big fan of some supernatural stuff in general. It really just kind of depends. I'm not going to say I didn't watch The Stranger Things or anything like that, but it just, I'm kind of picky when it comes to that. But that didn't necessarily ruin it for me. Now, I think with this film, you have to watch it objectively like Halloween 3. You have to watch it. Some people will say, well, fuck, Michael Myers isn't even in the film. Fuck this movie. Well, if you watch it for a standalone film, I think H3 is good. And I think that's how Jason Goes to Hell needs to be watched, because it's just a different, I mean, we got Jason X, but that's a whole other monster, but it's just different than what we're used to seeing. And some people were ready for it and some people weren't. So it's basically, if you watch it objectively, it either works for you or it doesn't for whatever reasons. Now, with Kent and Ben, we have one that is an A and we have one that is a yay. So since I know Ben loves this film, I'm going to let him start with why it's one of his favorites.
Well, first, I'd like to start by saying that this was one of the first horror films and one of the first Friday the 13th films that I'd ever saw. So I know there's probably a certain, you know, a little bit of nostalgia in it for me, but kind of like you said, Nathan, I watched it, for the longest time as just a standalone film. I didn't know any better. So, and it's kind of crazy to think to go back and to watch the other Fridays, you know, like where's the body swapping and the magic dagger and all that. But I really enjoyed Jason Goes to Hell because it did step out of the box. It was the ninth entry in the film series. We've seen it, you know, we've seen all of that before at the camp. Now we have adult characters. I think it takes adult characters to kill Jason. You couldn't, you know, expect the teenagers. They didn't get it done in the first eight films. So now we have adult characters. Everybody always kind of gripes on, you know, it doesn't have the Friday feel or the classic Friday locations, but I really kind of beg to differ because we were at a camp. We had an awesome kill at that camp. We saw the diner, which, you know, we saw that in the original Friday. Police stations, they were there. So we did still have some Friday the 13th locations. And Jason Goes to Hell really expanded upon that. I think it was a celebration of horror films from the 80s. We got the Necronomicon from Evil Dead, the crate in the basement from Creepshow, Freddy's Hand, Kane Hodder and his cameo, a lot of just fun things celebrating horror from the 80s, because now we're in the 90s. So I think it was just a great way to send Jason out. We had great kills, great, you know, K&B did makeup effects, just fantastic. It's one of my personal favorite looks of Jason. So I really don't think you can go wrong with Jason Goes to Hell. It's just a fun film if you just don't take it as serious.
So since this was basically what started your love for the genre, if you will, your love for Friday, we'll call it that. Either way, so 25 years later, now, since you are a fan, have there been things that when you rewatch it later, you're like, yeah, I'm just not really, that really doesn't work for me? Or because, I mean, I love, there's movies that I love, of course, but I don't love everything about them. So there's got to be something that you have issues with, rather than you can't just love everything. So I'm interested in what those might be.
Oh, absolutely. You know, with every film, but definitely what sticks out is the shaving scene. I don't understand that at all. I think there was a lot of, I don't want to say unnecessary nudity in the film, but just a lot of weird nudity in the film. That was definitely always kind of uneasy to watch. But yeah, I definitely the body swapping, that's really, really kind of just hard to swallow, because where the hell was that in all the other films? You know, you can kind of look past Jason's sister. I can look past Creighton Duke. It is what it is. You know, somebody had to have that information in the film, because, you know, where the hell did all this information come about? So maybe the body swapping and definitely the male shaving scene is just totally unnecessary, man.
Okay, so you're not a fan of the body swapping thing like a lot of people have issue with. So, I mean, but that's cool that you love the film, but you're like, yeah, that doesn't work for me. But that's a big fucking part of the movie. I mean, that's like the main thing of how people are getting killed, because it's not, it's Jason, but it's not the Jason that we're used to seeing. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, you have to watch it objectively. You either care for it or you don't. And the thing with Creighton Duke is people will say, well, where was this guy at? He just all of a sudden shows up and he's an expert Jason Voorhees guy and is a Jason hunter. Like, how does that work for you? And you either just have to accept it, that it was just kind of like a secret guy and all of a sudden he showed up, or you can be one of those people that just says, fuck it, it don't work for me. We're not going to have this guy show up and be an expert. But I will say is Creighton Duke, Stephen Williams did a phenomenal job. I don't think that really, I'm not sure who else they could have put in that role that really would have knocked it out of the park like he did. That was really a great addition to the movie. And I agree with you also about the shaving and some of the other stuff. So I was just curious as to what didn't work for you. And like I said, kind of interesting to hear that the body swapping didn't, because that is such a big, big part of the movie. But I do agree with you that there are some Friday-ish stuff there, but it's just not in the normal context that we're used to. But when you're so used to seeing the counselors or whoever it is at the lake getting murdered, and it happens time after time after again, I mean, through all these films, and then all of a sudden, boom, Adam steps outside the box and tries to give a different version. And like you said, you can look past Jason's sister or whatever, and Creighton Duke has the answers of how you can end Jason's slaughter fest or whatever. So Kent, now I know that you are not a fan of this at all. So before we get to why you're not, what about this film works for you?
Okay. Oh, okay. Oh boy.
There's got to be some stuff that you're like, hey, that's pretty cool. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm getting ready to say a lot of bad things about this movie, but I will say that I remember 9-10-year-old Kent cruising the aisles of the video store. It was called Video Fantastic. It was a little hick movie store here in my hometown. And, of course, this was back in the days of VHS. And I remember running up and down those aisles, and the cover art always caught my eye. Was always looking for movies with tits in them. And I had seen other Friday the 13th installments in the franchise. And at 9-10 years old, you probably did that too, Nathan. I'm sure you did too, Ben. You're trying to judge off the cover art whether or not hey, will this have nudity in it? Oh, it's a Friday the 13th movie. It's definitely going to have nudity in it. But this was the only one in the franchise up until that point that had cover art that made me afraid to watch it at 10 years old, however old I was. And for years, up until I finally said, no, fuck it, I'm going to watch this. And so the good thing that I have to say about it, it has really good cover art. And I guess I also I like some of the kills. It's got decent kills for a Friday the 13th film. And that's all that I have good to say about it. And you know what? I got one more thing. I will agree with Nathan that Stephen Williams is really good in this. I love Stephen Williams. I fucking hate this character. And that is everything good that I have to say about this movie.
All right. Well, I was just curious. It wasn't very much. And since you mentioned the cover art, that's something I was going to bring up later. But when I was younger, of course, I remember seeing the plethora of the Friday films sitting on the shelves in the video stores, like you said. And when I was younger, of course, depending on what age we're talking about here, but I just remember seeing a ton of them and knowing that there's a bunch of Friday the 13th movies, but I was young. I didn't really know what Jason was all about or anything like that. And then of course I get a little bit older and then we get Jason Goes to Hell. And I remember distinctly that the part four case always stuck out to me, probably because the knife sticking up through the eye or whatever, but
I love the simplicity of the four case.
Yeah, and then I just remember very vividly seeing that Jason Goes to Hell case and the posters and stuff. And of course, when you expand the case into a 27x40 poster, which I own an original one that has been rolled up and put in the closet for years, and I'm actually going to have Adam sign. I'm going to start adding signatures to it, I think, which I'll have Adam sign later this month at Horror Hound. But when you see it 27x40, it's even more like, whoa, you know, this looks like a badass movie, all the fire and the chrome skull and blah, blah, blah. So yeah, that's definitely, you're right. You're right on par with that. I was going to mention the same thing because that's probably the poster that I remember most out of all the Fridays when I was younger. So, all right. So I'll let you just go ahead. And
I just had a realization here. I think that the reason at that age that I loved that cover art so much didn't even have anything to do with Friday the 13th. I think I went through a period where I was obsessed with Terminator 2 Judgment Day, and it was like my favorite movie ever. And that cover art is extremely, at a glance, it's very Terminator 2 Judgment Day-ish, kind of, if you take the worm out of the equation.
Yeah, I'll give you that one. And like I said, I think most people of anything near our age are probably going to say the same thing about the poster or the VHS art. So I know that you had limited good things to say. So just hit us with it on why this movie does not work for you.
Okay. Well, first and foremost, who in the fuck is Creighton Duke? You can't come in. Where do you get off coming in the ninth installment in the franchise with this character that is of vital importance, according to the movie, who has been around since day one and suddenly knows everything about Jason Voorhees, how to kill him. And now we have the introduction of all this bullshit, like legend and mythology, and you've just overly complicated things. You know, like I said, the kills are okay, but the sad thing is they're not being done by Jason Voorhees. Yeah, I know. It's Jason, you know, on the inside, but I love seeing Jason kill people. Jason wearing a hockey mask or a sack and doing it himself. And now we have these fucking Joe Schmoes running around, doing their own rendition of how they think Jason would act. It's not even Kane Hodder, 90% of the movie. And, I'm not on board with the body swapping. I just, you know, Ben said that they stepped out of the box and he respects that. I can absolutely respect stepping out of the box for a movie, and a lot of movies are amazing at doing that. This is not one of them. They didn't step out of the box. They stepped off the fucking planet. Actually, I guess that would have been Jason X. But,
yeah, I know what you meant, but we had that with Jason X. So yeah. Okay. But okay. Let me interject there. So I mean, I'm being nice. I'm trying to be nice. Okay. So I'm not going to disagree with anything that you've said or that Ben said, because we all have our opinions, but okay. So I'm of the same mindset. Who the fuck is Creighton Duke? So you either have to just accept it and realize, hey, this is a movie. So you know what? He was a secret. He was doing all this stuff in secrecy on the prior eight films, and all of a sudden, boom, he just shows up. But then again, it's like, in reality, I have a hard time grasping how I can just be okay with it. It takes a little bit, right? Because it's just like,
it's
all of a sudden,
too much.
It is, and it is very, very much too much. The movie is so busy that it just throws another pan on the fire. You know what I mean? And it's just like, God damn, this movie is busy enough as it is. And then trying to figure out how all of a sudden he pops up out of nowhere and fits in with the rest of the timeline. So you have to kind of just watch it objectively and just be okay with it. So let me ask you this before, I think I know what your answer is going to be, but before we go any further. So you go to the movies to be entertained for the most part, right? Wouldn't you agree with that, Kent?
Absolutely.
So when you watch this movie, do you feel entertained, or do you just feel like somebody kicked you in the junk?
It's like an entertaining kick in the junk. I watched kinda, this movie.
let me change this up. So it's kind of like when you were a kid and you're riding your bike and you slipped and you kind of racked yourself, but it didn't really hurt that bad, and you're kind of thankful. So is that the kind of? Is that kind of where
yeah,
we're at with it?
That's a perfect analogy. And, you know, and I would also like to say I'm glad this movie exists, because, it tells us, it lets future directors know what they shouldn't do. And, B, it, you know, kept the franchise that I love alive. So I'm never going to wish that it hadn't ever happened, because maybe Friday the 13th had died if it hadn't happened. But this is not one that I continuously put on and watch voluntarily.
Okay, so who in the fuck is Creighton Duke? There's a big one right there. And, of course, you know, the body swapping, like I said, that's – I think we're all in agreement there. Once again, we're just three opinions of millions, but I think a lot of people will have those same opinions that it's just kind of like, you know, why? And – like you said, it is Jason killing people, but it's not really. And the thing about it is even the guys who are the recipients of the body swapping, they just get knocked the fuck out. I mean, they're not of any, you know, they're not that dangerous. You know what I mean? So it's
exactly.
Like, well,
yeah.
if Jason is taking over your body, you shouldn't be that easy just to get rid of. I mean, these guys just go down like sacks of potatoes, you know, for the most part.
They turned him into a pussy.
I mean, so, all right. So moving forward past those, what else do you have major issue with? And now granted, even it's 25 years later. So, I mean, your thoughts have probably came up and down in some way, shape or form over the years, but let's hear the rest of it.
I didn't find any characters aside from, you know, Stephen Williams being Stephen Williams, there weren't any characters that were likable. The main character, what was the main character's name? I can't even remember.
John
the guy with the glasses. Yeah. Don't really care what happens to him. Stephen. Yeah. Don't care what happens to him. Don't care what happens to the survivor girl. And then, you know, Ben brought up also the including the Necronomicon and all these other little nods. Now, I did think that the nod to Freddy at the end and him reaching up and grabbing the mask and pulling it down is cool and all, but we all know that it doesn't really fucking matter, because the next movie, none of that is going to be mentioned. Cool nonetheless, but, you know, them including the Necronomicon and everything is all good in the hood and everything, but as far as I'm concerned, if you're not bringing me Ash Williams, or maybe even a hand chainsaw or something, like, I don't care. It was not enough and too much simultaneously. You took a very simple premise and overly complicated it, with shit that none of us had ever heard of before. We don't need an explanation as to, you know, why Jason seems unstoppable, or he just fucking is, and that's all there is to it. And yeah, that's how I feel about it, man. I'm glad the movie exists, but I think it was executed extremely poorly, overly complicated, and it has very few redeeming qualities.
Okay. So, and Ben, I'll let you respond to that in a minute. I just want to talk about this Necronomicon. So, and of course, the Freddy glove dragging the mask down. So there was, as you guys know, there was talks of Freddy versus Jason versus Ash. So having the Necronomicon in there, and then, of course, the talks of Freddy versus Jason film from back in the late 80s. So having those in there kind of sets up for a showdown later, right? So it's kind of like, okay. And it's like, how many houses would have the Necronomicon in them? I mean, I'm an Evil Dead fan. I don't have a fucking Necronomicon laying around my house. You know, I know some people that do have replicas or whatever, but I'm just saying, like, I think that there's a setup or a correlation in there with the possibilities that were going on at the time of having those films, which we eventually got Freddy versus Jason, as you guys know. So, but there was the possibility of the other film too. So there's a little bit of explanation in there as far as those go. And I'm glad that we got the film too, because we might not have had Freddy versus Jason and it might not have continued any further. So, all right.
Oh,
so
that's true. Maybe it would have been best if it didn't happen.
Well, I mean, in speculation, I mean, I don't know. I mean, would we have still gotten Freddy versus Jason if we didn't have Jason Goes to Hell? And I don't have the answer to that. I don't know if anybody truly does. I don't think that Jason Goes to Hell needed to happen for there to be a Freddy versus Jason. I don't think that Adam Marcus's film was a necessity by any means. And of course, with the chance to put out another one and already have an established franchise, it's obviously a moneymaker. And I think Adam was really in a difficult spot. Just thinking back at that time, when you have someone who is a powerhouse like Sean Cunningham saying, get rid of the hockey mask. And how exactly do you do that? Because he got rid of the hockey mask by the body swapping, right? So there's still the Jason-esque quality of it, where it's Jason who's doing it, but like you said, it's not Jason himself that I want to see do it, but we don't see as much of the hockey mask. So I'm not really sure how many ways that you could get rid of the mask without getting rid of the mask. I know this all sounds fucking extremely confusing. So I don't really know how many ways you could do that without going in a supernatural matter like Adam did. And I've never really gotten the chance. I mean, I've watched him talk on documentaries and other interviews and stuff, and I don't think there's ever really been a direct explanation of why that route happened. But Ben, your thoughts on what Kent had to say?
Well, I'm a huge fan of Easter eggs, you know, in films and video games. So I guess that's why I would eat up, you know, Freddy's Claw or the Necronomicon. I think, like, if you kind of look at the comics, the expanded Friday the 13th universe, if you will, I know one of the novels actually has the Necronomicon in it. I think it's like Jason's like great grandfather or something. And then of course we did get Freddy versus Jason versus Ash, the whole comic book series there. So I think it would have been interesting, maybe, you know, if you look at the Saw films, I know when you get to like, you know, 4 and 5, there's so many different characters and crazy shit going on, but they don't really tell you. It's just kind of a setup for the next film. So it would have been interesting, you know, maybe Jason X, you know, if they wouldn't have sent him to space, maybe they could have expanded, you know, on that Necronomicon or some of the things that we saw. As far as Creighton Duke goes, I know it bothers everybody. It doesn't bother me. I guess I take it kind of like the Man in Black from Halloween 5 and 6. He's just there. You know, you just kind of take it. Who knows? You know, we could have gotten a backstory in the
Saul,
next one.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so what if Saul... what if Saul on, you know, fucking installment 9, they just brought this guy in and he was like, yeah, I've been here the whole time.
I mean, they kind of did.
Back watching this dickhead kill people. I don't know. I was busy. you haven't seen me yet, but I've been here. You need to buy that shit. I've been here.
They kind of did with the newest one, Jigsaw. Like now he has a whole new apprentice and shit. Which, I know. I totally get what you're saying, but I don't know. I guess I'm just accustomed to that in movies now. They always throw in some random character. Maybe Adam Marcus was just a little ahead of his time back then, I guess.
And he could have been, like I said, he stepped outside of the box and he did it in a big way, in a very busy way. That's why I'd love to be able to have a lengthy conversation with him. Like I said, I know there's multiple interviews and documentaries out there, but it doesn't answer really like the real questions. Maybe there's some that I'm unaware of, but then of course there was the talk last year or whatever about Jason being a deadite and people just went through the roof about that. And I don't think, and then of course, like I said, you do have the Necronomicon there, but in my opinion, that was more of a correlation with the possibility of seeing a Freddy versus Jason versus Ash. And because is Jason a deadite? I remember reading that article and I was just like, holy shit. I mean, this is just going to open up a whole different can of worms as far as trying to say Jason's a deadite. So we're not even going to get into that though, because that's a whole nother conversation. But yeah, I mean, there's so much going on and we could talk about it all night, but it just boils down to it either works for you or it doesn't. But like Kent, you had said when I asked you about you watch movies to be entertained, and did you feel entertained or did you not? And of course, you know, we got the answer, but so Ben, I mean, obviously you're entertained by it, but I don't know if, I mean, you do, the issues that you do have are obviously valid ones, and I agree with those. So do you think that the nostalgia behind this movie is the reason why you just overlook some of the other things?
You know, it's probably 50-50. I think nostalgia is everything, obviously, when we grow up. But I really do enjoy it because it gave us things that, you know, I am a diehard Friday the 13th fan. I know that part, you know, 3 and the final chapter, Jason Lives, are some of the best ones, the go-to ones. But this one gave us kills that we weren't, you know, like look at the police officer melting, kills that we normally didn't really see in Friday the 13th. So I think I still do enjoy that. And it's a little bit out of the camp. We're in the city, you know, the town now. And so, yeah, I would say 50-50. It still holds up as one of my favorite go-to Fridays. I still make sure I watch this one regularly.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, nostalgia does play a big part of that, and it does for me. And we'll end up talking about that on another installment. But I can certainly understand that. But I think over time, that especially when 25 years goes by, now granted you're still young, but in another 20 years or 25 years after, it might not be as much of a nostalgic thing. You might start looking at the movie and being like, yeah, I mean, I like the film just because it was the first one I watched, but I totally get why Kent thinks the way that he does or whatever. So, I mean, who knows?
And you know, like, we all have movies like that. I love Part 8. Part 8 gets a lot of hate, a whole lot of hate. But Part 8 is one of my favorites. And and it's because I find it entertaining. I think it's fun to watch. And maybe, just like Ben, it has to do with nostalgia, because it was one of the ones that I was accustomed to whenever I was a youngster. And so, I mean, I can't hold anything against somebody that loves this movie, because I get it. I get it.
Yeah. Well, I'll throw this out here too. And like you said, with Part 8, now for a while, I mean, when I was younger, I love Friday the 13th, but Part 1 and 2, I wasn't like a super fan of by any means, right? Because you don't have hockey mask Jason slicing the shit out of people. Sackhead Jason in Part 2 is totally different. So the Part 3, and then of course we don't see Jason as much in Part 4 as we do in 3, but still we just build from there. And then of course, like I said, Part 6, we see Jason tons in that film. So I didn't kind of hold 1 and 2 in the same regard as I did like 3, 4, 6, you know. So, and then as I got older, I really started appreciating Part 1 and Part 2 more. So your thoughts and your perceptions, I mean, I'm an example of how that can change over the years. So who's to say that your thoughts or even Ben's thoughts might not change down the road too? I mean, probably not, usually, if you're kind of set in stone on something. But like for me, I didn't like you have total dislike for the most part for Jason Goes to Hell. I didn't have dislike for one and two. I just didn't appreciate them as much as I do now, if that makes sense.
Yeah, makes total sense. I don't think that I'm going to look back at this at 77 years old and think to myself, you were really being a pretentious cunt, Kent. This is some fucking gold right here.
No, you're probably not. You're probably still going to think things are ridiculous or just don't work, because this film is very specific in that fashion. Whereas part one and part two, you can grow to appreciate those more because they are more on the traditional side. Whereas this one is just so far different that you're probably not going to change your thoughts. Like I said, I try to be objective with it. There's things that I like and dislike, but I don't like the body. I don't the supernatural side and the dagger and all that. Of course, I can overlook Creighton Duke and just kind of accept him. Like Ben said it, for the man in black, you just kind of accept that he's there and not really ask for any backstory, which you guys are well aware that there's talks of a Creighton Duke backstory film. And I hope that we do get that. And Stephen Williams like hasn't even aged a bit in 25 years. So maybe he can still step in and be of some.
He looks better now than he did then.
Yeah, I mean, he looks phenomenal. He's aging very well. So maybe there's that possibility of him stepping in and being able to do a backstory piece on it. I don't know. We'll have to see what transpires with that. And of course, we have the upcoming Dark Heart, Jason Goes to Hell documentary that's in the works, and some cool things going on with that, which I'm not saying that's necessarily going to generate any more Jason Goes to Hell fans, but it'll be nice to kind of hear other people's thoughts and aspects. I know they're going to interview some fans coming up at Horror Hound Mask Fest. One of the producers is going to be there, and actually our main man, Ben, here, I was able to set him up with one of the producers. Ben's going to help out behind the camera with some of the fan interviews. I don't know if that's something that you can speak on, Ben. Maybe give people a little heads up here about what's going to happen with that here in a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're doing the 25th anniversary director's cut screening there at Horror Hound, and me, along with some other people, are going to be there in the crowd doing a little interviews and just trying to get everyone's opinion and views on Jason Goes to Hell for the upcoming doc. So if you see us there, we might be coming your way. Make sure to have your answers ready, because camera will be recording.
Absolutely. And this is a big thing for the screening. It's, I believe, at the IMAX downtown St. Louis, downtown Indianapolis. It's at the IMAX downtown, right, Ben?
Yeah, I believe it's right across the street from the Horror Hound venue.
Yeah, I thought I heard it was within a block away. So any of our listeners that are going to happen to be there and you want to catch it, do you know what time it is, Ben? I don't know what it is off the top of my head.
I do not know the time right now. That is definitely the first thing I'm checking out Friday when I get there, though, because I cannot miss that baby.
Yeah, obviously it's probably on Horror Hound's website, or you can find it on social media, but it's on Friday night, on the first night this year, which is, I believe, August the 24th, without looking at the calendar.
Yeah, but and yeah. It's going to be actually a special like director's cut, never before seen scenes. This will be better than the director's cut DVD that's out right now that everybody has, you know, the unrated cut. This will be even better than that, never before seen.
Yep, so definitely check that out if you're in the area. I unfortunately will not be attending that as time does not allow for me, but we will be, all of us will be there on Saturday at least. Ben will be there Friday. Like I said, he'll be helping out producer John Lepper. I'm not sure if any of the other producers are going to be there, but I know for sure he will. So if you see him and Ben, definitely, if you've got some thoughts that you want to share, it'd be a perfect time. You might get featured in the documentary. So anyways, final thoughts. 25 years later, like I said, I know, Kent, you're not a big fan. There's very little that works for you, but this is not a film that you despise to the point where you can't watch it. So it might not be a go-to for you, but I'm sure that it's probably something that you're still going to pop it in every now and again and revisit, right?
I will revisit this before I will revisit Jason X or Freddy versus Jason. So, yes. And I guess we'll go into that later. But, you know, like I said, I'm glad that it exists, glad that it happened. It's not completely and utterly unwatchable, but it almost is. And
but it almost is. I like that. Yeah. I like that. You're not completely throwing it under the bus.
No, it's at best I'm throwing it beside the bus.
Okay.
But I don't want the bus to full on hit it. Maybe do one of those things where, you know, the bus is driving by and I just kind of throw it into the side of the bus so it gets that spin around.
Okay, there you go. All right.
But
Well, let's put it this way. So if the bus was coming at it, you would push it out of the way just enough to where maybe its ankle only got hit, right?
Unless I'm in danger of getting hit. If that's the case, it's getting hit by the bus.
Okay. But all right.
Fair enough. If I can get us both out of the way, then yes, I'll fucking get us both out of the way.
All right. Fair enough. So I guess there's no reason. I guess it's needless to say that you won't be with Black Hat Studios, with your business Black Hat Studios. You won't be doing any Jason Goes to Hell work in the near future unless it's commissioned.
It is. It's really funny you say that, Nate. I've actually, as we speak, there is a Jason Goes to Hell bus down on my paint booth, primed and ready for paint.
Gotcha. But that's not that's something that you are just painting, right? It's not your sculpt.
No. It's not my sculpt. I got it from a buddy and I'm going to be painting it and selling it. It'll probably be for sale at Horror Hound.
Ah, gotcha. Well, how ironic is that? Perfect timing. So, all right. We know that Ben loves the film. Unless there's any final thoughts that you want to throw in there, we'll go ahead and wrap this up.
I would just say that I personally do not think it is the worst Friday the 13th. It is a good time, a celebration of just horror, 80s horror. Go into it open-minded. I think the last 10 minutes when Jason breaks through that floor and kind of has his, you know, WWE style fight with Steven is some of the greatest Friday the 13th, you know, scenes available. So definitely check it out. And don't be so hard on it. Be a little open-minded because it's just a fun time. Very entertaining.
Watch it objectively. And one thing we didn't talk about, we'll just do it real quick here right before we sign off, is some people just love the look of Jason in this film. Like for me, for example, I'm not a big fan of the look. I think he looks like a mechanic uniform. The shirt's tucked in. It just kind of looks weird with all the padding. It doesn't look like traditional Kane Hodder. And of course, I think the kind of hemorrhoid looking head is a little bit much. I think they could have kind of toned it down. I can appreciate the whole mask getting absorbed by the head and the face kind of a thing. But I know that Kent had made some comments too about the padding on Kane and stuff like that. And it just really didn't look like the portrayal that we see him there. So I just wanted to kind of highlight on that a little bit. I know a lot of people, they love the costume, and then there's the other half that they're kind of the same way. It just doesn't work for them. So I know Kent, you had already mentioned that. We don't need to go into too much detail with that, but I think Ben, were you one that you enjoyed the look of Jason on that? That was one of your I guess more favorite appearances.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's no secret I'm a big Kane Hodder fan. So obviously this one's up there for me, but I think overall, Jason, I think it's a great look. I know Jason Goes to Hell really isn't looked at as being canon to the series, but I always kind of took it, you know, he gets hit with that toxic waste at the end of part 8. So, you know, of course his mask is going to be melted and his head's going to be a lot more, you know, deformed and everything. So I think this look of Jason, and really kind of the look of every Jason, and I know when they were possessed, you know, they had kind of had the dark circles under their eyes and everything. I think it's just a darker kind of, I don't know, meaner, grittier type Jason. I think this is one of the best looking Jasons. Absolutely.
This looks like, but hold up. Now, hold the fucking phone.
All right.
This looks like they took Krang from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I think is that character's name, the brain thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It looks like they strapped a hockey mask to the front of that guy's fucking dome. This is one of, and you know, I can watch a Friday the 13th movie if Jason himself looks cool, even though the movie itself isn't that great, which is why I watch Part 7. Because Part 7 has, in my opinion, one of the best-looking Jasons in the entire franchise. It's so badass. And for that alone, I can watch Part 7 gleefully, even though the kills are super, super subpar and it's so dialed down and watered down. That is not, in my opinion, that is not the case for Jason Goes to Hell. I agree with everything that Nathan said. It's bulky. The shirt is tucked in. It looks like they yanked Jason straight out of hell in the middle of some kind of formal meeting he was having with the hell conductor.
Nice.
I love you, Ben, but I disagree with that 100%.
Oh, man. See, I would think that the Jason from Jason Goes to Hell in a one-on-one fight with Jason Takes Manhattan, I would think that, you know, the Jason from Jason Goes to Hell would take him out. He's bigger. Exactly. Like you said, the padding, I mean, whatever. He's bigger, I think.
Yeah,
like,
it's bigger in the wrong places.
If it was Kane versus Kane, I think Jason Goes to Hell would take out 8 easily. And X.
Oh, my God.
Well, maybe that's a debate we will have later. But anyways, that's that. 25 years of Jason Goes to Hell. Now, we have another milestone anniversary coming up this week that we will be releasing a special episode for that as well. I'm not going to mention what that is. You can Google and probably figure that out for yourself. So in a couple days, we will have another milestone Friday anniversary edition episode. So be on the lookout for that very soon. And that wraps up another episode of Death Curse Radio. So please rate and review wherever the hell you listen to the show at. Check us out on Facebook at Death Curse Radio or our website, deathcurseradio.com. Until next time.
Evil lurks in the mind of a madman.
This is the end, friend.
Your suffering will be legendary, even in hell. From the prime time, bitch.
I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work.
Candyman.
Eternal.
Because I've seen enough horror movies to know any weirdo wearing a mask is never friendly.
That is what
I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
Some things have strange idea entertainment.